This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Oh, yeah, it is the moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Where's all your money gone, Donnie?
Taxes.
It's okay. It's part of the game.
No, it's not. It's not fun.
It's not fun to what?
It's the worst part of the game.
It's what?
Taxes.
Welcome to the Annie Fry Show, Manny Fry Show. Annie will be back tomorrow. We're all looking forward to that. In the meantime, today is tax day. It's the tax deadline that we refer to as tax day. This is also Christmas if you are an accountant. But I say that joke, and it sucks because if you're an accountant, you're definitely not listening to the radio. You're just doing crazy work right now. So anyway, welcome to Tax Day here, the 15th of April. It floats around a little bit, but it's always this time of year. We talked about making the poll today, did you do your taxes? And then tagging IRS and then doing a whole first segment about why did we fire 87,000 IRS workers? We were going to advocate that we keep them. And then we were going to see if the government paid us to do that. It doesn't really work like that. And in fact, we would never do that. So the YouTube live chat poll is, will America ever have a balanced budget again? Yes or no? Lots of comments on this one already. Love to see it. Love to see it. So log on to the YouTube live chat and let us know what you think. Because honestly, you'd love to say yes to this, but yeah. We're all really skeptical. I mean, we really are here on tax day. I want to open with, and we'll get to some news here, but since this is the very beginning of the show and maybe you're right now heading out for lunch, if we caught you kind of at the end of lunch, because most people head out, 11:30 or so we're kind of at the end of that window. But I wanted to let you know that there are some really great tax day freebies going on. Ooh. Yeah, this isn't hard news. I get it. We'll get there. But just letting you know, Krispy Kreme, customers who purchase an assorted or original glazed dozen donuts will get a second box of 12 for just the price of tax. Burger King, if you're a Royal Perks member, can get a 1 cent cheeseburger today with the purchase of $1 or more. I don't know what Royal Perks is. It's probably one of their apps or something. Do you have any of the fast food apps?
The apps for fast food? No.
You know I do.
No.
I've got multiples.
Wait, I think I've got Chick-fil-A.
Do you? Oh, see, that's one I don't have.
Yeah, I think that's the only one I've got, and I don't think I ever use it because I never go to Chick-fil-A.
You know what, though? It's the best way to go to fast food restaurants.
Is it?
Any fast food restaurant anymore, and some are better than others. Ethan, do you have any fast food apps on your phone as you walk in the door here?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so off the top
but
of my head.
I'm telling you, that's the best way to do fast food.
You know what? Actually, I lied. I have McDonald's. I just don't use...
See? And McDonald's is one of the best. Their deals are awesome. I've got McDonald's. I've got Arby's. I've got a couple other ones. Dairy Queen. And they always have daily deals.
The thing is that I don't...
It encourages me to go eat more fast food, which is really great.
I don't eat fast food enough to really use these, but when I do, at least for McDonald's, because it's literally right across the street from my apartment.
And the deals are good.
They are good. I feel like they constantly have really good deals over there.
7-Eleven is on the list today for tax day freebies. Anybody who places a tax day order of $20 plus from 7-Eleven can get $10.40 off of their delivery. I didn't even know 7-Eleven delivered. Look, this is just free advertising, so.
Are there 7-Elevens around here?
That was my next question. There used to be one in downtown, and then in 2020 during riots, I think it got burned down.
Hmm?
I don't really know of any 7-Elevens around here.
It got burned down here in 2020?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that we had stuff get burned down here in 2020.
Well, it wasn't like they rioted throughout and burned down the entire city. It was like individual things just got torched or destroyed, or people spray paint all over the things and destroy them.
So they had a list of the options of what can we take down, and 7-Eleven was first to go.
Here's the thing. I'm not really sure there was a lot of forethought into these things.
You're telling me it wasn't a planned attack?
You know what? There are probably a few people who dropped off pallets of bricks. They knew exactly what they were doing. They just didn't care where the bricks went. They just like, hey, you know, oh, shoot.
Not my bricks anymore.
Not my bricks. Oh, shoot. That was my construction project. Oh, man, they're throwing those now?
That is not what I intended for those at all.
Who knows who was funding that stuff?
They were
maybe the same
to build
people
up,
that were
not
funding
tear down.
Our prosecutors. Shake Shack. We have Shake Shacks, don't we?
Yes. There's one. Well, I know there's one out in Chesterfield, and I know there's one inside Enterprise Center, which that's not entirely the same, but those are the only two I know of in the area.
Free single black truffle burger with the purchase of $10.40 or more. That's pretty easy to do.
I guess if you're going for yourself, though, what are you supposed to... You're not really...
Just get you a shake.
Is it $10?
I don't know.
Get two shakes.
I know stuff is pretty expensive at Shake Shack, but...
Get two shakes and then say, I don't give two shakes. Like the phrase.
I can tell you're really waiting for that sympathy laugh and you just didn't get it.
Don't worry. Casey's on tax day. Casey's rewards members. Here's the thing. You got to sign up for a lot of these things. Casey's rewards members who purchase a large pizza will receive a pizza refund, a free large one-topping pizza in their account. That's a pretty good deal.
That's a really good deal.
Yeah, but can the breakfast pizza be categorized under one topping?
That's a good question, and I think that you need to get corporate on for the next segment.
Hmm.
If you could, since you're a producer.
You want me to be in for this segment too?
No.
You should just call them on the break and be like, hey.
Yeah. Call corporate for Casey's and get them. Smoothie King, again, rewards members will get $3 off any $15 purchase, $4 off any $20 purchase. My kids, man, they love Smoothie King. And you know why? Because they watch that show, Dude Perfect.
Oh, really?
Dude Perfect. Plug Smoothie King. Like
hardcore?
Crazy. They're always like, I love Smoothie King now. I'm like, oh, so advertising works. I see.
Smoothie King is pretty dang good.
Is Hooters still in business?
Yes. They declared bankruptcy, but not the one where they go completely out of business.
Chapter 11.
Yeah, they're restructuring and they're coming back.
Okay. Hooters customers can use the app today to see which appetizers will be just $4.15. Potbelly. We still have some of those around, don't we?
There's one in St. Charles.
Yeah. That's a good restaurant. They offer customers a free original sandwich with any purchase of an original sandwich. That's buy one, get one.
All right.
So there's a few for you. There's a few. I figured we'd start with the easy stuff, the fun stuff, since it's tax day. And we all did our taxes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or had someone do them for us.
Or had someone do them for us. I have not tried to do taxes in years, because the one time I did them, it was about 4 or 5 years ago. I tried to use one of those free apps that says you can do them for free with whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll try that this year. And the more I got into it, the more it was like, well, if you want to do that, though, you got to pay a little bit extra. And I'm like, well, I need that thing, so I'll pay a little bit extra. By the end of it, I had paid for so many little extra things that it was the same as using an accountant. And I did all the work.
It also just, listen, I don't know about how much like the cost is for doing your taxes, because this is my first year being married, not being under my parents, but it feels like it's so much time, and I feel like at least a decent amount of stress that gets put into it. I don't know. It feels like it's going to be, it's a common sense thing for me that I'm going to continue with just using an accountant.
Yeah. And then you kind of push off the, uh, the culpability a little bit too, and say, well, that's what they said. Is this your first year doing your taxes?
I didn't. Well, technically, even this
as a married couple, it is.
Yes, but even still, we still went under like my parents. Like had just had. I guess it was done separately, but it was the people that did my parents. My family did ours as well. So I still had to do very little this year for my taxes.
I got a note yesterday really nice. From my accountant that said, hey, reminder that you have to pay your bill. And this is my reminder to you. You have to pay your bill if you owe by today. And
paid.
I freaked out because my refund said that I was supposed to have three refunds. Missouri, Illinois, and federal. No, I didn't have to pay anything. So I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Don't you dare charge me for something.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, it was just a mass email. I'm like, what? But it said to you, you have to pay.
So apparently you can file for an extension, but the money is still due today. You can't file an extension on the money that you owe, but you can file an extension on filing.
Have you ever done it past tax day?
No.
You've never extended?
Mm-mm.
I did one time. I can't remember why, but it was the easiest thing in the world. They act like, oh, you really got to do it. And then you come up with any excuse at all, and you go, I need to extend. And they're like, okay. But you have to say that you're going to. You can't just do it. You have to tell them that you're going to extend.
Yeah, but I think the money is still due.
Oh, I'm not saying, I mean even filing your taxes at all. Because you can't, you don't know what you're owed until, or what you owe, until you file your taxes, which I didn't do until October 1 year. I can't remember why I did it. Anyway, tax day today, and there are some freebies and things for you. We'll get back to some more of that later in the show, I'm sure, because there are quite a few more of those things.
And it's also Jackie Robinson Day today in baseball, which is always a really cool day. I think Major League Baseball does a really good job with Jackie Robinson Day and just remembering and just honoring the legacy of him and what he was able to accomplish for baseball, but also just for the country and, I mean, really the world and just...
Is that where they all wear the same number?
They all wear 42.
42.
And no names on the back. And
they're still wearing their team jersey.
We're still
it's
wearing
just the number 42.
Still wearing their team jersey. Just everyone wears 42. I will say, from a broadcasting perspective, being the booth assistant for 2 years, trying to figure out who the heck is warming up in the bullpen becomes a little bit more difficult.
Just say, number 42 is warming up in the bullpen.
That became difficult at times. But the event itself, Jackie Robinson Day, there are a few things in sports that are done better than how Major League Baseball handles that holiday.
I really encourage you. I don't know if you'll ever get the opportunity to do this. Or pass this along to... you know, Rick Horton or somebody. Let them know that it would be great and that I really want to hear them do an entire inning where they just say the numbers of the players.
Now batting number 42.
That's a 5-4-3 from number 42 to 42 to 42.
42 going back.
And it gets number 42.
And it's a goner.
Hit 42 feet.
So anyway, if you could make that happen, just let us know.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Before we get to the break here and the actual news I said I was going to share with you, President Trump has tweeted out or truthed out, one of the two, that he is now fully putting his endorsement behind defunding NPR and PBS. Now, this seemed like a foregone conclusion, but he has officially said that he wants it to happen, which means it probably is going to happen. And I really quick, one of my earliest memories, craziest thing, and I had to have been 3 years old, was at a drive-in. My assumption is that it was Belleville, but I have no clue. I was at a drive-in. And my parents, my mom, took me to see the first Sesame Street movie they ever made, and it was at a drive-in. And it was called Follow That Bird. And I was so emotional because when you watch Sesame Street ends quickly. Like the conflict is, oh man, what happens when you don't water a flower?
Right.
Oh, the flower died. Oh man, well, we're going to have to water the flower. And the conflict is resolved instantly. Like, oh great. That was great. And it took 60 seconds. But when you watch a movie, there's conflict that has to take place over an hour and a half.
It has to increase.
And yes.
Twists and turns.
And my three-year-old mind could not handle that. And so when Big Bird decided to leave Sesame Street, which is, I think, the plot of the movie, I wept uncontrollably, could not stop. And my mom had to like console me. And I told her, I think I told her, I want to leave. I can't handle the rest of this movie. And she was telling me, it's going to get better. And I don't think we watched the rest of the movie.
Can you imagine if it wouldn't have?
That was it.
That ends poor, like sadly like that. Like Big Bird died. Like,
so that's, but that's the claim is that they're going to kill Big Bird. They're going to kill Sesame Street if they defund PBS. Here is Representative Garcia, this is a week or two ago, in Congress, grilling the head of, I think it's the corporate public broadcasting company, mm-hmm. yeah. or the PBS head. Here it is.
He is a puppet, but no.
Now, that's not all. He also has a very dangerous message about sharing and helping each other. Mm. He's indoctrinating our kids that sharing is caring. Now, maybe he's part of a major socialist plot, and maybe that's why the chairwoman is having this hearing today. But let's talk about somebody else. Let's talk about Cookie Monster. Now, we know that Health Secretary RFK Jr. is coming out against fast food and baked goods. Are we silencing pro-cookie voters? Yes or no? Ms. Carter.
But cookies are a sometime food.
Well, thank you. Now, I agree with you. Let's also talk about the most important, maybe, character on Sesame Street. This is actually Big Bird. Now, Ms. Carter, since Elon Musk actually fired USDA workers who have been working on the bird flu, does it make sense to also fire Big Bird? Yes or no?
We would like to keep Big Bird.
Ah, you'd like to keep Big Bird. Okay, so this Garcia, he goes around, he makes points about Elmo first, then Cookie Monster, then Big Bird. And it's all these broad political points that he's trying to make using Sesame Street. But he's talking to the head of PBS, head of Corporate for Public Broadcasting Corporation. And she very dishonestly says, well, we'd like to keep Big Bird. I just want to point out something that everybody in that room, especially her, knew. PBS has not had the rights. Mm-hmm. They don't own, nor have they had the rights to even air, other than maybe in syndication, Sesame Street, for over 5 years. They have... They are not making new episodes of Sesame Street. They haven't for the better part of a decade, and everybody in that room knew it. And the only place where you can watch new episodes of Sesame Street now is HBO, which has nothing to do with PBS. So PBS knows this. Openly says, though, yeah, but we'd like to make sure you don't kill Big Bird, even though it doesn't have anything to do with us anymore.
We'd like to keep Big Bird.
We'd like
you
to
don't
keep.
Have Big Bird.
Now, maybe there are local affiliates that are getting older episodes that still run once in a while, but I'm telling you right now, I had a show that ran on PBS semi-nationally for 2 years, and so I know a little bit more about PBS than I should, and I can tell you that they bank on Daniel Tiger. That's their future. They are all about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Daniel Tiger, and the whole enterprise. They don't even count Sesame Street as part of their lineup anymore. So unless it's running in syndication in your local market from older episodes, there is no affiliation between PBS or killing Big Bird or killing Sesame Street at all that this will affect. But it does talk nice for Congress and talking points.
Where are you on PBS and NPR and all that other stuff?
There's just no reason for it anymore. And look, I don't even dislike PBS. I don't even dislike NPR. They lean left. But I think they provide a service. But if that service is important enough, you can pay for it. We don't need to fund that with taxpayer money.
Yeah, what was the purpose of it originally?
It was just like everything else, is that it provides the public good. It was like we were saying yesterday, universities are the same way.
Yeah.
Well, it's all for the public betterment is the argument. That was also, you know, this was formed in the 60s. How many TV stations did you have? Not many. And they were saying, well, it's bad to have corporate greed involved in all of our content. How about if we have one thing that's not, similar to the BBC or CBC or whatever?
Yeah. And like we said yesterday, everything that is publicly funded, not for profit, eventually bends left.
It goes pretty hard left. And I would say PBS is one of the better ones because they've at least had the veneer that they've tried mm-hmm. to maintain. But they still definitely lean left, especially with the programming. But NPR, obviously, Right. These aren't things, and look, they don't really need public funding anymore. It's a chunk of their money, but it's not the majority of their money anymore. So these things, the argument that it's going to take it away doesn't even hold water on that front. Even if they did have yeah. Sesame Street, taking away public funding isn't going to kill them.
No.
They probably will survive anyway. Anyway, we're long, and I want to get to Dan Fitter. He's coming up next. He is a business and trades ambassador for St. Charles. We are going to talk about the trades, because guess what? If President Trump's plan works, we are going to need a lot of people to be working in the trades and manufacturing in the United States. How are we handling that? Well, let's talk to somebody local about it. Dan Fitter is coming up next. It's only
that the end is near. Annie's out. Ryan and Brad are in. This is the Manny Fry Show. This is the Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
Perhaps it's to bring back American manufacturing, but I really think that's a pipe dream and not something that is likely to be accomplished. And we could even raise questions about whether or not, in a broad-based way, that's a desirable goal.
Oh, it's a pipe dream, and maybe not even something we want, according to Janet Yellen. Yeah, she's involved in our finances as well. She was until Trump took over in January. Let's talk to Dan Fitter about whether it's desirable that America have manufacturing jobs. Dan, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate being on your show.
So, Dan, you are a business and trades ambassador for St. Charles, and you're doing a great job out there of really trying to recruit people to be a part of the trades. I want to ask you first, though, how big of a problem is our workforce right now? I know we have an aging workforce that's moving a little bit out of the trades. What about those coming in? Do we have enough people?
Well, if you just look at the standard approach to hiring individuals, yeah, we do have a challenge if we're going to go to the marketplace and just pick off resumes and hire individuals. But, you know, here in St. Charles, we've taken advantage of a new program that's allowed us to start overcoming that hurdle and create a workforce for us for the sustainable future.
Yeah, Dan, I want to talk about your program a little bit, but let me ask you before we do, why do you think this is? I mean, what is it about the generation that's coming up now that is something steering them away from the trades? Because the pay is good. I know that.
Yeah, you hit it. The pay is good. I think a lot of it is just lack of connection. We as a community had a hard time getting access to young adults coming out of high school. So if young adults don't know the opportunities exist, A, and B, when we start looking at skill sets that we require in advanced manufacturing, and you look at the skill sets of young adults today, they're highly, highly capable when it comes to technology, computer savvy. They're able to multitask. They have the traits we need in manufacturing. And when we accept that they have the traits and the types, and we can help them develop the skills, there becomes a very good match for them to come into advanced manufacturing.
So with the Trump agenda clearly in place, I mean, they've stated very, very overtly that their goal is to bring more of these jobs in. If we're having trouble getting people to enter them as they are now, how are we going to handle having even more job opportunities in these fields?
Yeah, so part of as an entrepreneur and a business owner, we have to find solutions to every problem, right? And some may be quality. Some may get productivity. We can look at technology, but at the end of the day, we need to look at the workforce that's available to us and take advantage of the policies that are in place that allow us to grow our employment and market to these young adults in particular, market to them to attract them into our businesses. You know, we're a company that's grown 14% year over year for over a decade. We do business with companies that are seeing 30% year-over-year growth.
What company is that, just for clarity?
My company is Quest Specialty Products.
Okay. And so you've taken on, because you're in that field, you've taken on being an ambassador for people to even work in these fields in general, right?
That is correct. And part of it is us as business owners connecting with youth and educating them not only on the money they can make, but the opportunities and careers they can have. I have a degree. I have a master's degree. But to work in manufacturing, we value the skill of the worker like we value a university-based education. You can be an engineer based on your technical skills. You can be a great buyer. There are so many different avenues. And if you start in manufacturing and you learn the trade and the operations, you can go many, many directions in your career. And we're out there promoting that so that everyone knows this is a great route to a great future and career.
So, Dan, this is a national problem, but it is really people like you who are on the ground, and not just like all of a sudden you're doing this. You've been doing this for a while, and you've seen the writing on the wall that we need a generation to come up. So explain exactly what you're doing in St. Charles and Fort Zumwalt, that you're addressing problems that we already have a little bit, but that may be even growing in the future.
Sure. So over a decade, I've been involved in doing manufacturing days and trying to work with young adults to show them the different types of trades and opportunities that we had in manufacturing. But not in 2016, a lot changed. The Department of Labor changed the laws and said if you have a registered youth apprentice program, which is well defined, you can now start hiring young adults at the age of 16 or 17 years old from these registered youth apprentice schools. And what's critical about that is we now not only have to have showcases and show and tell about trying to attract these young adults, we now had a window to open and to hire them. Fort Zumwalt School District in our community in St. Charles led the way. In 2019, they became a registered youth apprentice high school, all their high schools. They had a coordinator trained, and we had the benefit of one of the best in the state, maybe in the country, was involved in that program then and is involved with what we're trying to do today. They reached out to manufacturers and said, hey, we have students that can now work for you in the trades. Do you have an interest in hiring them? We were the second company in to hire, and we put these young adults to work. And they were working side by side at 16 and 17-year-olds, side by side with 10-year employees. And we were just overly impressed with their ability to learn and adapt. So fast forward to last year, we finally got to the point as a community, and this was with the help of the Economic Development Council, local chambers, leaders of all of our different communities. We all rallied around getting all the high schools in St. Charles as registered youth apprentice high schools. That happened and started in July of 2024, and by September, we had all five high schools, including our technical school at Lewis and Clark, registered for the youth apprentice program. We as businesses then stepped up and working with CEOs and competitors of ours in some cases, we stepped up and said, we're going to fund as businesses what it costs for the schools to get their coordinators trained. And we're going to pay to bring one of the best consultants in to help us draft the curriculum, which is, by the way, the company is Career Ways. And the most important part in this element was not just the manufacturers are now at the table, but Fort Zumwalt School District, the entire administration, Dr. Pat Brown, Andy McAfee, and the entire team became mentors and supporters of the other school districts. So together, as a total community, we rallied around expanding and accelerating this program, which we call the Youth Apprenticeship Accelerator Program. And now we have all schools. And the cool thing about this is we are the Career Ways is working with developing the students. They're going through helping them get ready to work in an adult environment, doing personality profiles, coaching them. And we have a selection day And we're really proud of the format we put in place. We are recruiting young adults coming in trades like they're athletes going to college.
Wow.
Our students going to university. We have tours of both the coordinators of the high schools as well as students. We have interview process where we interviewed 14 individuals in a matter of 3 hours. All companies and all students are in the same area, same building, and that recruiting event of selection day is kind of like the NCAA having their selection day.
It's the draft.
It's the draft.
That's and super cool.
It really is cool. And in this last one, in a 4-month period, we had 19 more students sign up. We have another one that was just in January. We have another one coming up in another month, and we have over 35 students that will be at the table. We're moving it from 6 companies that were originally sponsors to 8, and we've reached out to many more, and we're ready to open the door to any St. Charles, any company that wants to participate in the program.
Dan, I mean, what you've put together in St. Charles and what everybody's kind of coming together to do is really an impressive machine that you've got. Because what I hear you saying is that in 2016, during Trump 45, it sounds like he had his Department of Labor change some of the laws to make it more accessible for more kids to start moving into trades, which obviously they saw the writing on the wall too, that we need to be doing that. But it wasn't just a federal government that just from the top down said, okay, we'll kind of grease the runway for you. It was your local St. Charles community businesses. It was the schools. It was the local government. And really, what's impressive to me is that you've put together this coalition of businesses that doesn't take from the tax money. We don't need the taxes because the businesses need workers so badly that they're willing to fund these kids coming up through these programs.
You just, I think that's the model. You just described it very well. And thanks, Ryan. You did a lot more efficiently than I do because there's a lot of details behind it. But you're absolutely right. Let me give you a number here. And this is why businesses are so excited about it, as well as the educators. We have a goal to get to 600 apprentices. And we're a little under 100 right now. But we just started the accelerator back in September of last year. 600 students, young students working in the trades will generate a little over $100 million of value-added work, manufacturing work for our community.
Wow.
$100 million while they're in high school, and their wages are estimated to be $21 million while they're in high school. This is very serious opportunity and all from every element, not only for the benefit of manufacturers, but it jump starts the livelihoods of these young adults. And if I may add, we have a young man that just turned 20 years old. He was with us not at the very beginning, but he came in as a second wave of apprentices 3 years ago. At 20 years old, just got approved for a loan to buy a home. So what you said is absolutely correct. This is about a community taking advantage of a policy that is benefit for all of us. And it's in the early stages, and everyone involved is so very proud of where we are today. But we got a lot of heavy lifting to get to our goal of 600 active apprentices. Generating $100 million in value for our companies.
Well, that's a great goal. But, Dan, you guys have the groundwork laid. I mean, that's very exciting. I'm so glad to be able to share good news. You know, it seems like so often we get on here and we're sharing just, you know, things that aren't quite going right. You know, we're being watchdogs. But when things are going right, Dan, I love to report on that. Dan Fitter, thank you so much for your time. Business and Trades Ambassador for St. Charles. Keep up the great work and keep in touch, okay? Let's keep talking about this.
Awesome. Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your time. We got to keep up on this. I mean, St. Charles sounds like they've been on it for now several years.
Yeah, I got a text message from a listener, and this is in the trades.
Okay.
And he was saying that his friends work, their plumbing agency, they have to turn work away because they don't have enough plumbers, and they're making over $50 an hour.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it's not just the trades that we think of. It's not just plumbing, electrical. You know, it's stuff like you used to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, landscaping. It's like work.
Yeah.
You need people to do work.
Working with your hands, yeah.
Yes, and it is all over the place. But some obviously need more training
right.
than others.
It's interesting. You listen to Mike Rowe talk, and he's like, you know, it's one of the modern miracles that you press a button and the poo goes away. And, like, that's a recent development, and we need people. Like, you don't understand all the infrastructure and the blue-collar workers that go into making that simple thing happen that has really actually revolutionized societies.
Yeah, and Mike Rowe has obviously been a national voice for mm-hmm. that. I just love getting in touch with someone. It's the first time we've ever really talked to Dan, so we should stay in touch with Dan
yeah.
and just keep talking about how that program is going in St. Charles. And honestly, my hope is that the more we talk about these things, because that's what it takes.
Yeah.
That not just St. Charles would be involved, but other communities in the area start to build these things up.
Yeah, I think one of the problems that trades face is there is a stigma surrounding it.
I think that's changing, though.
Yeah, I do, too. I think it really is. And actually, I'm talking to more and more young people that are coming through the youth group that are actually looking at trade jobs. They're like, oh, no, you can make good money doing that. And, you know, one of my good friends, and he also helps him with the youth group, he works in HVAC. And he makes good money, supports his entire family. He's the only one that works, has a good job. I mean, he doesn't like when he's on call. But outside of that, he likes his job. He's a good guy, treats people well. And, like, the kids are seeing these are what these people are, just, you know, lunch pail and hard hat guys. And we actually like that.
Good stuff. Dan Fitter, thanks for your time. If you're still listening, I appreciate you. We'll talk more with Dan, I'm sure, as time goes on. And we keep up with things. Brad is going to do Wiggins America next. What's the topic again?
The CIA knows where the Ark of the Covenant is.
Oh, so if that's not enough of a tease for you, the CIA knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. And Brad's got the full report coming up next on Wiggins America. I'll take it in, but don't look down.
Can't stop my shine. I'm Bobby Cloud 9. Annie's out, Ryan and Brad are in. This is the Manny Fry Show.
And everything gets shuffled around when it's the Manny Fry Show. I kind of move into Annie's seat, and then everybody moves around. And that means that I'm not doing Wiggins America. Brad Range is doing
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
All right. So I don't know how this is going to go because I got to follow in Ethan's footsteps after yesterday. And
here's the thing. You're going to do great. I'm not. I have no concerns. My morning started off with reading a text from you, Brad, that said, hey, I got Wiggins America covered today. You had actually sent me multiple texts, yeah. And I quite literally only responded to that one, and I responded with, bless you.
So I've been sitting on this story for a little while, but some recently declassified CIA documents say that the CIA found the Ark of the Covenant by using psychics.
Wait. When did this happen? This wasn't recent, was it?
So the documents are recently declassified,
yes.
But this happened in the 80s.
What? What is their confidence that this is real, though?
We'll get there.
Okay.
So the project is called Project Sunstreak, and individuals known as quote-unquote remote viewers were presented with a task, and they're basically a type of clairvoyant who claim they could project their consciousness to receive information about faraway objects. So the CIA is like, well, maybe it works. We can look into this and try it.
So my question about astral projection, as usual, is the same. When you leave your body through astral projection, which I do not recommend, can you see through walls? Because it seems like you just go up and then you'd be able to look down, but you wouldn't be able to see.
Well, listening to this, it sounds like these remote viewers were able to travel to the location and describe what they were seeing. So they were going, they had a target object, and they would go to where the target, they would project to where the target object is.
You got
to
have pretty good aim.
Yeah.
Especially that far away.
Yeah. So in a remote viewing session on December 5th of 1988, remote viewer number 32 was tasked with identifying the coveted Ark, according to the documents. So they said, you've got to find the Ark of the Covenant.
This is in the midst of Indiana Jones era, so.
That would make 1988 would have been right around that time, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They allegedly did not know the object they were being tasked to find. And
it was a placebo?
Apparently.
You find something?
Yeah, and the psychic described a location in the Middle East they claimed housed the object and said it was being protected by entities. So there are entities protecting it. The target is a container. A container has another container inside of it. The target is fashioned of wood, gold, and silver, and they said allegedly, not knowing that they were trying to find the ark, similar in shape to a coffin and is decorated with seraphim. So if you're familiar with the ark, there's seraphim on the top.
But we all know that.
They drew a picture of it. And if you're watching on the chat, I'll hold that up to
the
screen so you can see. Yeah,
it's not like in the Bible. It's not like they're going, oh, I think I discovered something. You can go read it.
Yeah. So the declassified document shows several pages of drawings depicting one of four seraphim standing on the corners of the ark, all along with drawings of mummies lined up along the wall. So it's in the spot in the Middle East with mummies.
Okay, I'll let you finish.
No, go for it. Ask your question.
Did they do anything with it? Or did they leave it there? Or where is it now?
Well,
according to them.
According to them, it's still there, wherever this location is.
Okay.
Visuals surrounding the building indicated the presence of mosque domes, they added, and they said the object was hidden underground in dark, wet conditions. Now, when they reached out to the CIA, so they said the target is protected by entities that can only be opened by those who are authorized to do so in this container. Cannot be opened until the time is deemed correct. So these entities will stop you from opening the container. Joe McGonigal, I think I'm saying that right. McMoneagle. Sorry. He's a U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer.
McMoneagle?
It somehow got worse.
McMoneagle. McMoneagle. A U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer and the first person to do remote viewing for the CIA told the New York Post that they allegedly do not know what was scrawled down and they are guided through the process by another person.
Okay, question. Why do we care about this? Is there any factual basis to any of this?
So he doesn't believe that there is any factual basis to this. He said it's not worth the paper it's written on, claiming the session is bogus.
So all this talk that I've seen too online that the CIA
knows
where it is.
Yeah.
It's just based on this.
A psychic said he saw it someplace in a vision.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it.
Wah, wah, wah.
And the CIA actually did something with that?
Why? Yeah, it's a CIA study.
I mean, if it works, then you can figure out where hidden documents are.
How do you even find
sort of
if
thing.
It worked? It's the Ark of the Covenant.
I think you have to go and find it.
But they never did that.
No.
So they didn't follow up.
No. Well, they just knew it was
this?
In the Middle East.
This reminds me. I'll tell you what. We had somebody, when I was on the Dave Glover show several years ago, you know, they did a lot of supernatural stuff. They had somebody come on who was supposed to be, I don't know what you'd call her, psychic or reading or something. And obviously, I'm a Christian. I don't want to deal with that stuff. I don't want to be around it. I don't want anything to do with it because you don't know what you're inviting in. So I was like, I was a little skeptical of it, but I'm like, look, if you want to do your thing, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm just not going to participate. And so she sent me back, I don't know, again, like what she said she was, psychic or something.
Yeah.
She sent me back this report about me, like, this is what I'm getting about you. And I'm like, I'll read it. So I read it and it was like, I see that you have kind of like a tightness right here, like kind of in your chest. Do you have trouble breathing? And I'm like, yes, but I've said 15 times on the show that I have cystic fibrosis. So of course you're going to know that. And it was all stuff that I had already said on the show. And it was like, but presented in this way, like, oh, I see it has entities on it. Could it be that they have wings? Are they seraphim? It was like
1988. Somebody needs to figure out when did the Raiders of the Lost Ark come out.
And so I think it was early 80s, but it was this kind of stuff that it bothers me because
81.
There are people who genuinely are tapping into things that you're like, I don't want anything to do with that. And there are a lot of bogus people. And there's probably a mixture in between.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to do with this thing.
A, don't play games with it. And B, some of these people are just ripping other people off.
Yes.
Especially the ones that go on and say, it's like, I'm getting a message from your mother. They're just playing on people's emotions. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the report, I think.
It was fun, right?
It was fun. That's a good Wiggins America.
What was that guy's last name again? McNamara-Meekable?
McMoneagle.
Yeah, McMoneagle.
Sorry, man.
Was he the psychic or he was CIA?
He was the person in charge of the
program. Oh, okay. Then I'm not sorry.
Yeah, he kind of failed in follow through. All right, stick around. Jim Carafano coming up next. Bad days, I don't get paid.